We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John McComsky coming to you from my upstairs in my home in Nathans, Illinois.
And this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you, as always, from my office at Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
And Matt, we want to welcome everyone to our, this is Wrestling with the Basics, by the way. I think probably everyone, you wouldn't be listening to us if you didn't know what we were. But in just in case you happen to stumble across us, this is our annual Christmas episode. I have both bad news and good news. So what do you want to hear first, the bad news or the good
let's,
news?
Let's take the bad news first, John.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the good news. Anyway.
Okay,
I don't know why I bothered.
Well, why did you even ask?
I know. Because I'm sorry, I'm so excited. It's just like Christmas for me.
Okay.
Well, it is Christmas.
All right, good.
No wonder it's not Christmas.
So what's the good news?
Well, we have the Jalapeno Chorus back again.
Oh!
That used to be a tradition, and somehow it fell through the cracks. But we want to say a really kind word of thanks to the Turtle Creek Corral. Look them up on the internet, the Turtle Creek Corral. And they were just overjoyed that we wanted to start playing their Jalapeno Chorus again. I don't know if that's actually, overjoy is the word, but they said, sure, you can do that. I have the
wrestling with the what?
See, that's it. They've never listened to us. Otherwise, they would never. So, but anyway.
True. Maybe that's for the best. No, that's great. Great. So that's, so please, listeners, keep us tuned in for no other reason than you get to hear the Jalapeno Chorus at the end of the show.
So the bad news is, I got my hiatal hernia surgery, and my 30 days of fasting were up, where I could only eat soft foods, which meant that Thanksgiving was pureed turkey. And no, Matt, if they ask you, do you want the pureed turkey or like the regular turkey? Regular turkey.
Regular turkey. Sorry to hear that, John. That's tough over the holidays.
Well, see, that was it. And I thought, well, now 30 days are up. I'm going to go into Christmas. I'll be able to eat anything I want. So I went to the doctor, and there's still restrictions for another month. And get this, Matt, no raw vegetables. That's what he said.
Oh, so, I'm sure you were crushed, John.
Well, you know, we used to gather around the tree, and we would have the broccoli, the Christmas broccoli, and the holiday carrots and stuff. But I guess I'll just have to eat sugar cookie and chocolate candy. I don't know what
you
else
poor
to do.
Guy. Oh, it's going to be a rough Christmas.
So
did he say anything about bacon, John? That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, my goodness. Matt, thank you. I forgot to ask him. I got to write that down because the dietitian's supposed to call me today.
Oh,
and
please.
I'll find out. Bacon. Yeah.
That's
wow.
Right. Top of the list, John. Come on.
How could I forget that? The Christmas bacon. We hang it on the tree, and every day we take a piece off.
It's like a bacon advent calendar.
It is. Now, there's a thing we could make money on, Matt. That's a great idea. Bacon
the rest of the basics
calendar.
Bacon advent calendar.
Slice
a day.
Make a note of that. That'll be for next year, then.
That's a gold mine right there, John.
It is. All right. We're having too much fun. We got the Jalapeno Chorus coming yet, so we don't want to do too much fun first. I've got a Christmas story, or a pre-Christmas story, because it's not Christmas yet. We got another few days that I'd like to discuss, if that's all right with you.
Oh,
you got your Bible?
Sounds good.
You got
timing.
Your Bible handy, man?
Always, John.
All right. Yeah, I can see Matt on a video screen now, and he's got loads and loads of books on shelves behind him, and he probably never ever looks at, because he can see all the books that I've got. It's up there for looks. Or is that like one of those screens you put behind you?
It's not a fake factor. These are real books.
Those are real books.
Yes, real paper.
Luke 1:39 is the story of Mary visiting Elizabeth. And what I wanted to say is I love this story of Mary and Elizabeth and of course, the angel coming to Mary, because it's our story. Now, I don't mean by that we're going to end up having the Son of God. That would be something, wouldn't it, man?
It would be something. Yeah, to talk to the doctor about that one, John.
And, of course, it was something for Mary, you know, because that's what she said. How can this be? But the thing I've learned is when you read these fantastic stories in the Bible, you need to remember that the pattern that lies behind them is the same way that God deals with us, okay? It's not as spectacular. That's because we're not in the book. But the pattern is exactly the same. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want to put you on the spot. But do you remember what was the two key things, outside of the fact she was going to give birth to the Son of God, the two things that the angel said to Mary when we had the Annunciation? That's the technical term.
Yeah. So in addition to, she's going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. The angel is specific about how that Son of God is going to come about, right? How his conception, his birth is going to come about. And then also, then who that one is going to be, that he is going to be the Son of the Most High, right? The Savior.
So that's number one. We know the promise, and that does not apply to us. None of us are going to be the mother of the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, though, I think that certainly does apply to us. If you look back a little further, what's the first thing he says to him in verse 30, Matt?
Let's see here. So we are in,
Luke 1.
Luke 1, yeah. I had my Bible ready, and now I'm lost here, John.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah. yeah, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God.
Right. And so I got to thinking, how old are you now, Matt?
I'm 44.
44. Oh, my goodness. We won't be able to call you young blood much anymore.
Well, I was thinking about that, Matt. John, reflecting on that. I thought, I'm also a leap year baby. So I've only had 11 birthdays. So, I can be young blood, you know, forever if I play that card.
A long time. So at some point, right after you were born, some 11 or 44 years ago, depending on how you're counting leap years, there was an angel that came to you, and he applied water to you, and he said essentially the same two things. He said you were favored by God, right? And he said you now have the Holy Spirit. It's exactly the promise that Peter made in Acts. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, which is just another way of saying because you're now favored and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's how we all start out, with Jesus coming to us, sending his angels, his messengers to us, telling us that we have the Spirit, telling us that we are favored. And of course, precisely for the same thing here, because of the Jesus who would be born of Mary. Now, of course, not all of our listeners were baptized as infants. Maybe they were baptized later. Maybe the messenger came to them was a friend or a pastor. But it's basically how we all start out Christianity, with God through his people coming and saying, you are my favorite ones, and I'm giving you my Spirit, okay? So now let's move up to the visitation. And we're going to see something else that's very, very similar. If you wouldn't mind reading verse 39, Matt. Well, go ahead and do verse 42.
Okay. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth.
Okay, so no one knows for sure this answer, but what's your take on it? Why does she go with haste? What's the rush, Mary? You got 9 months.
Yeah, well, I think if you have that kind of news, right, you want to share it with others. And Elizabeth, a relative of Mary, she wants to that phrase, misery loves company. Well, I think it's also true rejoicing loves company. And, so to share that news with her, perhaps. And maybe a little bit of fear still, even though the angel said, don't be afraid. Even still, boy, this is a tall order, maybe to have the supportive family around to help her through this time, too. But with haste, he's eager to see Elizabeth, it seems.
So I I would stay with the misery part. Okay. I mean, and I agree with the joy part.
Mm-hmm.
She just is overwhelmed. But here's the thing that I hadn't thought of before. This whole thing really messed up her life, Matt. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she had it made. She really did have it made. She's probably 15, 16 years old, this young gal. She's hooked up with the local carpenter, which that's not a bad deal in Nazareth. You know, there's not a lot of good guys to marry in Nazareth. It's a small, poor town. I mean, you probably don't make a lot of money being a carpenter, but at least you're a professional. You've got a job. You've got a vocation. So, and she doesn't have much of a dowry, so she's not going to get any rich dude to marry her. So she's probably really happy that, you know, Joseph has become her fiancé. They'll wait about a year. They'll finally consummate the marriage. They'll start having little Nazarene babies. And that's a pretty good gig, again, if you're a young gal in a small town like Nazareth. And now all of a sudden everything's turned topsy-turvy, because what do you think her fiancé is going to think when she says, oh, yeah, and by the way, Joe, guess what? I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was an angel that came to me, and it's by the Spirit, so don't worry about it. How's that going to fly, Matt?
Yeah, not too well, no. That seems a little far-fetched, at least to Joseph's ears.
And it doesn't. It doesn't, because we know from the other accounts in Matthew. No, he might even stone her to death. Okay, so I think, and she's taking the advice of the angel, because it was the angel that said, "Well, consider your cousin Elizabeth, who was of old age, and now she is with child." So I think you're right. I think it is about the joy, because who wouldn't want to share that with someone? I can't share it with my husband, though. I don't know how that's going to fly. But I think it's also, I gotta figure this out. So let me talk to someone else who may be having similar struggles. Because frankly, do you know, man, I was going to look this up. Do we know how old Elizabeth is?
No, I don't think there's a specific age given for her. Okay. You know, with Sarah and Abraham, you know, we have that. But I don't, with Zachary and Elizabeth, we don't have the exact age.
So we know, though, she's an old lady, right? I mean, it's
there
somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking my wife, she doesn't want to have a baby at this point.
Yeah, verse 36, and behold, relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. So,
okay, so it emphasizes that.
Yeah, but both of them, you know, and then the angel again, nothing will be possible with God. So, yeah, to come with Elizabeth and to just share, hey, what's happened? Yeah, did an angel come and talk to you before this happened? How did it work? You know, and just to compare notes, I mean, both of them, these miraculous pregnancies and births.
Yeah, and I like that thought, too, to compare notes. So how, because I know you can't, of course you're incredibly joyful, because that's what every one woman wants back in those days, to have a child. To not have a child meant that you must be cursed by God or something, because people are supposed to have babies. But then I still think if you're like 70 or 80, you're probably not really crazy about starting a family. So here's the point I wanted to get, where it's in common with us. See, when God came and he said that you're favored, you know, you're forgiven, and I'm giving you my Spirit, it turned our lives topsy-turvy too. Now the thing is we've probably had that situation for so long we don't realize it anymore. Even as I suspect when Jesus got up to be 12 years old, things were pretty normal for Mary too. It was just like having another family until, of course, he disappears in Jerusalem. But that's another story. But think about it, Matt. The people that are listening to it now who have the Spirit, every Sunday or maybe Saturday night or a Wednesday, but they're getting up and they're going to church. Now honestly, if God hadn't done that, I could sleep in on a Sunday morning. I could go do my laundry. I could mow my lawn. There's all kinds of really good things. Sleeping in would be the primary one. But now, and I'm retired. I don't have to go and preach. No one's paying me to go to church. And yet somehow I feel like I still need to get up and go, see? And here's the other problem. Now I got to love people, you know? And not all of them are really lovable. And even the ones that are lovable sometimes require a tremendous amount of sacrifice. I've got to kind of care for them, watch over them, do things for them. And if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't have to be worried about any of that. I could just basically do whatever made me feel good. So yeah, Elizabeth, now your life is going to be tough. You're 70, 80 years old, and you have a baby? No one wants to change diapers when they're 80 years old. And yeah, you marry. Now, how are you going to explain to your husband that you're pregnant? So I'm just trying to say this is what we have in common. We all, if you thought being a Christian meant it was going to be easy breezy, no, it will bring challenges to you. So here's the, finally, I wish we had have a point. Remember the sound effect?
Oh, yeah, the sound effect, yep.
There is a thing in our Lutheran confessions, because we are Lutherans, called the mutual consolation of the brethren. Have you ever heard of that before, Matt?
Yes, 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 I have, John. One of the ways the gospel comes to us.
And it's right up there with baptism and the Lord's Supper, which I think is impressive, because we talk about baptism and Lord's Supper all the time. But the consolation of the brethren. And by the way, that's our focus, something new. Next week, you've got something that we don't talk about a lot either. Right, Matt?
That's right.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Come back. Tune in again next week. Or next time. We're taking a little Christmas break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll be our New Year's episode then. So what we have here, I think, is the illustration of the mutual consolation of the brethren. So one troubled Christian has come to another troubled Christian. And look and see what Elizabeth does. And this should be a model and example for us, except for the baby leaping in the womb. That part, again, doesn't apply. But I think the other things do. So could you read, if you would, verse 41 and 40, oh, read all the way through 44.
You bet. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy."
All right, Matt, talk to us about that. What do you think of when you hear those verses?
Yeah. I think, you know, I see the Holy Spirit at work again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Again, you know, the Holy Spirit really revealing to Elizabeth that, yeah, this pregnancy of Mary's is special. This one that she's bearing is even superior to the one that I'm bearing, right? This is the Lord inside of Mary. And then even that baby in her womb, John the Baptist, leaps for joy. So even God working in that too, that's the Holy Spirit at work again. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why you already brought up baptism, John, but that's one of the reasons why we support infant baptism is, well, yeah, the Holy Spirit can work in the life of anyone. It doesn't matter what age they are, where they're from. He can even work in the life of a baby in the womb if he wants to, you know, so certainly he can work in the life of an infant, through water and his word.
And you know, that's why, again, as Lutherans, because we practice infant baptism, that's one of the reasons we love this text, is because anyone would say, well, I don't know why you're bothering to do that to a baby. What good? Babies can't have faith. And of course, well, apparently, even before they're born, they can have faith. And in fact, yeah, we can all have faith, because it's what's impossible for man is possible for God. I know it's hard to believe that a virgin can have a child, but as the angel said, you know, all things are possible for God. So we just do what God tells us to do, and we trust the Holy Spirit will all sort it out. So the thing that I thought was really cool here, though, is that she exclaims with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and of course, blessed is the fruit of your womb." And I think that relates to the whole idea of the mutual consolation of the brethren. What I had not really thought about is the word blessed in the New Testament is actually the Greek word from which we get eulogy. What is a eulogy, Matt?
Yeah, so eulogy, we usually talk about that at a funeral, right? That's sharing some words about someone, and typically it's not so much a sermon, but it's more of about the person, I think, more than anything is usually what we think about. Fond memories, good memories of an individual.
Yeah, so literally the eulogy would be good words. Good logos. So it's good words. Yeah, we do that at a funeral. I hope. I hope you don't come to my funeral and say, you won't believe what an idiot he was. You won't do that to me, will you, Matt?
I'm just
going to
play clips from Wrestling the Basics, John. And
no, please. Please don't.
Well, just the intro. Goodness. We'll just do the intro and the in and the out. We'll begin the message that way. We'll end it that way. It'll be great.
And the jalapeno chorus, of course. And the So actually, what's interesting is in the New Testament, though, the nuance of eulogia comes more from the Bible, from the Old Testament, than from the Greek usage. This word is used 400 times, Matt, in the Greek Old Testament, and it's used in two ways. One, it can be used of what we do to God, okay? And so we speak good words about God. Mm-hmm. So it might be translated, well, it's often translated, we bless God, or we praise God, give glory to God, whatever phrase you want to use. And that makes perfect sense. My wife insists before every meal we have a blessing, okay? Mm-hmm. And essentially we are thanking God for the gifts he's given us. And that only makes sense. Everything we have comes from the Lord, so we should say good words about him. On the flip side, though, in the Bible, when it's God speaking to us, again, it's about him speaking good words to us. But of course, the difference is when God speaks his words, things happen, right? God says, let there be light. And oh, man, there's light. Okay. And so when God says a good thing about us, something actually happens. And so when God says, you're forgiven, guess what? You're forgiven.
You're forgiven.
All right. So in a sense, you are an Elizabeth. Okay, Matt? Right?
Okay, John.
Because don't people come to you every Sunday? They come to you every Sunday, and do you not speak a blessing to them?
Yeah, you bet. Yes.
So, like,
yeah,
well,
and
what
I mean,
blessings?
And really,
if I come to your church, what blessings are you going to speak to me? What good words are you going to speak?
Yeah,
to me?
Yeah, well, yes, well, even like good words, like the benediction. You know, those are good words,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
The end of the service, yeah. For instance,
the final word,
the
yeah.
final words. And what I think, you know, is interesting is Elizabeth too, in speaking this word of blessing, is really just speaking back to Mary the words of God, right? The words of
yeah.
that angel.
Oh, excellent.
And
yeah.
that's exactly what we do as pastors. Is yeah, we speak words of blessing, but we're really just speaking back to people. The word of God, right? This is Christ's body given for you, his blood shed for you for forgiveness. I'm just speaking back to them Jesus' words of promise. And Elizabeth in a similar way, just speaking back to Mary what God has already said through that angel.
Yeah, and of course, that's the important thing. This all circles around the fact that not only are you blessed, Mary, not only do I have a good word to speak to you, but it's because of that what's in your womb. That's the one that's blessed, and he's mm-hmm. the one that will bring blessings to all of us. And the thing is, and this is going back to the mutual consolation of the brethren, this is not just something that pastors can do, because yep. Elizabeth isn't a pastor. She's not a priest. She's not a called servant of God. She's just another one of us. And yet, she can speak those good words to people too. And what I really appreciate what you said, Matt, because they're not her words. They're God's words. Yeah. They're Jesus' words. So I hope people remember that. When people come to them in their struggles and trials, do not hesitate to tell them, hey, but you got to remember, Jesus died for you. God loves you. He forgives you. Yeah, we got troubles. But somehow it'll all work together for our good. And again, why? Not because I said that, but because this is what the Holy Scriptures, this is what the Spirit, this is what Jesus has told us.
Yeah.
I do want to do one last thing. If we could quick read verse 45, and then we got to get to the jalapeno chorus. Verse 45,
yeah.
If you wouldn't mind.
And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.
And I just want to point out, unfortunately, in the English, it's the same word again, isn't it? It's blessed.
Blessed.
But it's not really in the words of Jesus. It's a different word there that means, well, I guess we translated happy, although not happy in the sense of the world is happy. Because again, we're back to this thing we talked about earlier. The world just wants to do whatever makes it feel good. And that's not that kind of happiness. But it's a happiness that comes from knowing that we have, well, I guess we could use another Hebrew word, shalom, with God, that we are at mm-hmm. peace with him. And even in our struggles and our trials, that doesn't change. God is always with us and will never abandon us. And so for everybody this Christmas, especially people who are like me, who are going to have some struggles. We won't be able to eat vegetables. And I know people have things far worse than that. Believe me, I understand that. But let's just remember, you are the favored. You are the one that have the Holy Spirit. That's what we have. God has pronounced the blessing, and so now we have this other kind of blessing, this joy and happiness. And as part of that celebration of joy and happiness, are you ready, Matt? Shall we listen to a little bit of the Jalapeno Chorus?
Let's do it, John.
All right, here we go. Yes, just bring me a glass of water and hurry. Oh, the classic Jalapeno Chorus.
Yeah. Our apologies to John Frederick Handel, George Frederick Handel, and
whatever the guy
Messiah writer. Oh, boy.
The Messiah writer.
So, yeah, hopefully, yeah, you know, that the with your diet restrictions, John, hopefully that, you know... I don't know if the Jalapeno Chorus has taken on a new meaning for you, the hot sauce and the guacamole and the tortilla. But,
Well, I know for sure that I can eat the guacamole, but the dietitian's supposed to call me today and clarify some things, because I'm not sure, can I have popcorn, for example?
Yeah.
Can I have a chopped salad if I can have, I can't have raw vegetables?
That's right.
And that will certainly be on my list of things. Can I have the hot sauce? Because that might be an issue. Well, anyway, we do want to wish everybody very blessed from the standpoint of a good word being spoken to you, and you speaking good words, the words of God, of His love and forgiveness to others. Matt, as we end this year, and it's been a good year. We've had some ups and downs, but again, the Lord has been with us. Any final greetings you want to extend to all of our listeners?
Thanks so much for listening, and God's blessings to you, whatever your life circumstances are. You are loved by Christ, and Jesus has come to be that child born for you, born to be your Savior, who still comes to you in His Word, and one day is going to return in glory. And that's what we look forward to as His people.
And we look forward, we won't be talking to you, because it will be the 12 days of Christmas, of course, here at KFUO, so we'll be back, I believe it's January the 10th, and we have a New Year's episode, and Matt's got some new things to share with you. So we wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.